Hi, everybody. I'm Maury Povich. On my podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, I'm going to sit down with the icons, the stars, and the faces at the very center of today's big cultural moments. With everyone from comedians Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, Leanne Morgan, to newsmakers Don Lemon, Joy Reid, Aaron Parnas, and so many more. So join me for new episodes every week, because nothing is off limits. Great conversations. They're always on par. Follow and listen to On Par with Maury Povich wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to turn your garden into a smart garden on News Radio 830 WCCO. Smart Gardens, an hour of expert advice and answers to all of your lawn and gardening questions. You can call 989-9226 or text us at 81807. Now, here's Denny Law with this week's Smart Garden.
Yes, indeed, on a balmy Saturday morning.
Oh, ho, ho, ho.
Julie.
Good morning.
Santa Julie's here. Julie Weisenhorn from the University of Minnesota Extension. Well, Merry Christmas to you guys.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
Nice to
Happy
see you.
Happy holidays to everybody out there.
You're going to be seeing some family this weekend,
I presume?
Yeah,
we're heading up to Mom and Dad's up near Moose Lake and going to spend 4 days up there.
Uh-huh.
It'll be great. My brother's coming up and my other brother's staying in Alex for a little bit, so.
But you'll have crisp weather, but it's not going to be.
It'll be mighty. I got my parka with me.
Oh, yeah.
Put it that way.
You'll be traveling with those emergency kits. Yep.
Yeah.
All of that.
Yeah, the emergency kits.
Hot coffee. In spite of it all, and I mentioned early this morning, 52 weeks a year, we talk lawns and gardens
yes,
on this station.
Yes, absolutely.
And people love it. Maybe more so
think,
at this time
I think it warms everyone up right now to think about next summer.
Well, Julie, let's welcome our listeners in either by phone or by text. And our thanks to our friends at By the Yard down in Jordan, Minnesota, patio furniture maker extraordinaire, family-run business.
Merry Christmas to them.
Merry Christmas. They're great people. And they do sponsor the show every week. We appreciate that. 651-989-9226. We've cleared the lines. If you want to call in your lawn and garden question for Julie, by all means, 651-989-9226. If it's easier to text us, 81807, 81807. What do you folks from the Extension do this time of year? I mean, you plan, I mean, you're not outside working in the yard.
Right. We're not outside working necessarily. We spend our time thinking about and working together on educational programming for Minnesotans.
Sure.
And we're coming up to the Master Gardener Core Course training, which happens starting in January. We've got, I think, 240 interns from across the state who will be either coming to the Arboretum to watch us present in person, or they'll also and or they'll be using our online class. So you don't have to necessarily be in person to take the trainings. A lot of people like to come and hear one of their favorite speakers. but then you can also – there's a lot of online education too. So it suits people's schedules. And that's one of the things we've tried to do with it over the years is make it flexible, make it accommodate people who – you know, maybe the weather's bad and you don't want to drive out to the Arboretum.
Sure.
You know, you live in Woodbury or something. So you can do all that online, which is great.
I wonder what's going on at the Arboretum this time
of
year.
Oh, I was just there this week. It is gorgeous, 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 gorgeous. The trees and the decorations, they have such an amazing staff out there. Every season, whatever it is, they do just an incredible job. I get so many ideas when I go out there about, you know, it's like visiting Martha Stewart's Arboretum sometimes. I mean, it's just beautiful. You know, everything's perfect and great. And outside, there's a light show. They've got trees decorated in the perennial gardens. And so if you can, you want to go outside and look at that, if you get out there at dusk, it's just, oh, it's gorgeous. And we've had such beautiful sunsets and sunrises, too, for those of us who are up really early.
Up early, yeah.
But it's just a beautiful place to be. And the gift shop is full of fantastic gifts. If anybody's looking for a last-minute gardener, Even just gardening stuff, but for people who aren't even gardeners, they're just I could have bought a whole ton of stuff out there.
And whatever the holiday might be, I always liked for years recommend that people bring, since family and friends are visiting,
right,
bring them to the Arboretum.
Right, yeah, take them to the Arboretum. There's, you know, even in the indoors.
Take them.
There's
the more grammatically correct.
Yeah, there's the conservatory, which Ricky Garza takes care of that. He's the staffer in charge of that. And he does a beautiful job in there. And the orchids are blooming and some are fragrant. And
be there.
Great place to be.
Great place. If you have a lawn or garden question, again, by phone, 651-989-9226. Joan is calling from Edina with a question. Good morning, Joan.
Hi, I have a two-part question.
Okay.
A few weeks ago, you were able to help me diagnose my orchid problem as a virus, and that apparently came from the grower. And now I have many cyclamen mixed in my, I have a little garden, and a cyclamen mixed in with the orchids. Are they susceptible to that virus?
That I don't know, because I don't, I kind of doubt it, but
okay.
I don't know what the virus is.
Okay, and my second question is, the orchids come in a plastic container, and I put them in another container. I don't pot them in it.
They're double potted.
Yes.
So it's sitting in a decorative.
It when I put it in a basket.
Okay.
A clay pot is what I'm
okay.
Is that clay pot? Does that have to be thrown out?
So is the orchid still in its plastic pot and it's just in a clay pot as well?
Yeah, it's in the plastic container, and then they put the plastic container in the clay pot to stabilize it as I put them in baskets.
Okay, so with the clay pot, no, you don't need to throw that out. And if you have, it's double potted. You want to be sure that you take the orchid out to water it, you know, so that it drains well. You don't want to water it in the clay pot. You can just take it out, keep it in the plastic container and just put that in the sink and then water it so that it drains well. And you can put it back in the clay pot in the basket.
Okay.
It should be fine.
Thank you, Joan. Appreciate the call. Joan leaves that line open for your lawn or garden question for Julie. 651-989-9226. Text is 81807. Speaking of which, texter says, I put some new sod down this last year, and it rooted well. I put some Scott's Fall Feed Fertilizer down that I thought would help with making it stronger sod or seed next year, but it ended up burning. Now it looks like a dog went all over the yard, and if this is going away, should I expect to have to replant new sod next year because it kind of got browned up? Is that too much fertilizer? What's the deal with that?
Well,
could it be?
You know, when you have fertilizer, you want to be sure that you're following the application rate properly. So that's always on the label of the fertilizer, and so that's important. If you followed that, I can't imagine it burned at all. Now it says it looks like you had a dog that used it for its bathroom. It could be that the sod maybe had some annual ryegrass in it, and that died. You know, that's an annual plant, as the name implies. So it only lasts for a year, for a season. If it doesn't green up in the spring, yeah, you're going to have to replace it. So it could be that portion of the sod didn't take. You know, didn't root well. And it's
hard to tell without seeing it.
Yeah, it's hard to tell without seeing it. But I would say just wait until spring. You know, if we don't get spring rains, which we probably will, then I would, water it well and see what happens. And yes, you may have to replace it.
All right, Julie, we have to take a quick break. We have more show to come. If you have a lawn or garden question, by all means, call it in or text it in. 651-989-9226 or send a text 81807. Julie, when we come back to it, let's mention that website where folks can even get more information. Great wintertime reading on that.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show here in A3OWCC. If you're just joining us, thank you. Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays. Happy holidays.
Julie Weisenhorn is with us.
Happy New Year coming up.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
2018. How did that happen?
I don't know.
you also brought... You brought your husband here, Carl.
Yeah.
Whom we know, but you
Carlos.
We have Rosie in studio.
Rosie the dog.
Yes,
she's
pretty.
Around,
she's pretty mellow.
Cleaning up the popcorn and other trinkets.
Yeah,
on
we'll
the
need
floor.
Her here once a week. Is that okay?
Yeah, yeah. She's like a Roomba.
That's nice to
Rosie the Roomba.
A furry Roomba. Good deal. It's nice to see all you guys today.
She's
this
a good girl.
Holiday weekend, and it's nice to get some questions answered. Lawn and garden type 651. 989-9226, or send a text, and we'll get back to that screen. The text number, by the way, if that's easier, 81807. Are you ready?
Yeah, let her rip.
All right, Dan's calling from White Bear Lake. Dan, you're on CCO. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And Merry Christmas to all of you. I love your show.
Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you.
I have a question about flour we bought. Usually we are buying in store for Christmas, for example.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And they are coming with that kind of plastic cover.
Right.
Do you supposed to take that plastic off so we can breathe and drain, or what do you think? We don't really know.
Are you talking about the plastic that's around the pot? The decorative? So that's a great question. I'm really glad that you asked that question. You can do a couple things. If you like the way it looks, the issue with it is people forget to take it off when they water the plant, and the plant ends up sitting in water inside that collects on in that wrapper. So you can do a couple things. You can take the plant out of the wrapper completely and put it in a nice-looking pot. You can put holes in the bottom of that plastic of that wrapper, that decorative wrapper, and set the plant on a saucer or a plate, something to catch any water that drains out. Or you can just water the plant in the sink and then put it back in the wrapper. So you can leave it in there, but you just want to be sure that when you water it, you're allowing the plant to drain well.
Would be rotting, right, in water.
That's right. The roots will rot in the water. Mm. Yeah, and that's the number one thing that kills houseplants the most is that overwatering. Too much TLC.
Sure. I appreciate for your help. Thank you. And
you're
Merry
welcome.
Christmas to
Merry Christmas,
thanks
Dan.
Thanks again, Dan. Appreciate the call.
That's a great question.
Thanks.
I'm really glad he asked
you.
That.
Yeah, it is a good question. Yeah. I don't think we've ever had that question before.
Yeah, drainage is really important with houseplants. They oftentimes, I've helped people with houseplants and taken the plant out of the decorative, beautiful pot, and it's in another pot, and it's full of water because they just keep watering it, and that water drains and collects in that decorative pot, and the plant is almost floating in there. So it's really, it's important. Drainage is super important with houseplants.
651-989-9226. A line is open if you want to use it this holiday weekend, or send a text 81807. We're getting a few of those. I see.
There's
won't get
funny
to that
text,
one.
But we can't read it on the
no,
air.
No, we won't. We won't do that.
We could read it. We could
modify it. How? Well, let's do this one first.
Okay,
this came in earlier. How and when to clean the leaves of a dusty Christmas cactus? Also, how to make the cactus fuller for more future blooms next year?
Another good question. And this is a great opportunity to say that we have an excellent publication on holiday cacti on the Extension site, which is extension.umn.edu. And if you go to houseplants, click on the garden tab, go to houseplants, and you'll find holiday cacti, Thanksgiving cactus, Christmas cactus, and Easter cactus. So that's great. But let's answer this question. So anytime a plant is dusty, it's important to take just a damp paper towel or a nice soft cloth and make sure it's damp and just wipe the leaves off. And that's hard with little plants. You can take those plants and run them underwater, shake them off, and that helps. If dust collects on leaves, it makes it harder for the leaf to collect the amount of to collect light and then to photosynthesize. So we want to keep them clean. Making it fuller, you can do that by pinching off what we call the leaves. They're actually called cladophylls. And if you pinch those back, they will put – wherever you pinch out, they'll put out two new little branches. So that's how you can make it look fuller. And then you could take those pieces that you pinched off, dip them in a little root tone, which is a rooting hormone you can buy at your local garden center, put them in some soil, and voila, you'll have another plant.
Excellent. And well, I'm going to ask you something about that website, but we'll get to that. We have a caller. Diane is calling from, I think, St. Paul. Go ahead, Diane. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have something very interesting.
All right.
My daughter told me that when she eats romaine, she tried this once. I don't know where she heard it.
Okay.
But you cut off the base of all of the leaves, and you save that core, and you put it in water, and it will sprout from the center of that core new leaves. So my daughter tried it. It's here on my east windowsill in a little custard cup of water, and it is sprouting new leaves from the center, and the leaves are now about 2 inches tall.
Nice.
But I can't plant it outside. What do I do?
You just let it grow, and then you just trim them off and eat them.
Make a little salad.
Make a little salad, a teeny tiny salad.
That's kind of cool, huh?
Cool. Yeah, propagation's fun.
I bet you that's great at
Diane.
For elementary kids to do stuff like that.
You know, we all used to take a potato. Did you ever do that, like a sweet potato or a potato, and you'd stick toothpicks in it, and you'd hang it in a jar of water so that just touching it would put out roots, and you didn't do that?
I don't think
you?
I did that, no.
You're so deprived.
I was deprived. I'm going to do that today.
I'm going to bring you one next week. That was, propagation's great. There's a great, I think I've talked about this on the air before, but something called a rag doll that you can do where, and this is great for seed education for kids, where you take a wet paper towel, just damp, lay out some seeds, fold it up, put it in a Ziploc bag, and put it in a dark, warm place for about, I don't know, 7 days, check it after 5, and you'll see the first root come sprouting out of the seeds. And then you can take those, pick them off real carefully, and drop them in the soil. But it's a great way for kids and adults, too, to understand germination a little bit and see it happen and to make sure the seeds are actually viable. It's a great test for that.
All right. Good
it's
idea.
It's called a rag doll.
I've got something to do now this weekend. All
right. Julie, you're going to have an amazing garden.
Let's take a break. We invite our listeners to call in your lawn or garden question or text in. The phone number is 651-989-9226. Text number is 81807. Good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here with Julie Weisenhorn from the U of M. And let's give that website again because I have a question about that.
Yeah. So extension.umn.edu. Click on the garden tab and go to Yard and Garden. You can also just Google University of Minnesota Extension Garden. And it's full of great publications. We have excellent diagnostic tools. There's a way to ask Extension if you don't get your question asked.
That's what I wanted to get to about that. If they can't get in today.
Yeah, if you can't get in today, if you can't get your question answered, you can email it on Ask Extension. Go to that page. Or you can call the Yard and Garden line out at the Arboretum. A master gardener will call you back. Or there's also great publications online that you can just search for and find.
Okay.
Tons of information.
Yeah, meantime, yes. Mm-hmm. Just it's great reading. All right, 651-989-9226 if you'd like to phone in your lawn or garden question. Or if it's easier, Julie has that text screen right in front of her, 81807. Texter says, when's a good time to trim a maple tree?
Maple trees, you can trim those now if you want. Winter is a decent time to trim most trees because the trees are dormant. And but with maple, the only concern is in the spring, if you do trim it, you'll see some bleeding from the sap. And that's fine. That's perfectly normal. It's not going to be detrimental to the tree.
All right. Should we grab another one?
This question has been up here. I thought I answered this a couple weeks ago, but we'll answer it again. Okay. I have a zone 6 blueberry bush in a large pot. It is having it in the garage this winter okay, or should it be outside to ensure its survival? It depends if your garage is heated. If it's 45 degrees in your garage, it can just go dormant. You might want to add a little water every now and then. Take a look at it. But otherwise, right now, to put it outside would be probably a shock to the plant. So I'd keep it in the garage and maybe add a little bit of water now and then. And see if it makes it. Zone 6 is tough. We're in zone 4. And a little bit of zone 5 down along the Iowa border, but you don't say what zone. It looks like 507, so that's southern part of the state.
Mm-hmm.
But really, it's going to be tough. You're going to have to be taking care of that plant, and you might want to try some of the university blueberry plants. The other thing about blueberries is that you need to have two different cultivars to cross-pollinate in order to get fruit. So whatever this plant is, if you like growing blueberries, I would try two of our northern cultivars that are university. There's St. Cloud and North Blue and North Sky and Chippewa and a lot of different really great cultivars from the University of Minnesota.
Okay, very good. There's a line open if you want to use it, 651-989-9226. Julie, let's get back to the phones. Harvey's calling from St. Cloud. Harvey, you're on with Julie.
Good morning, Julie. Good morning. I think you've talked about this, you know, some time ago, but I just had a arborist out and looking at maple trees.
Yep.
The problem I've got is I've got one that's maybe about 35, 40 feet high. The last year, the leaves had, by July already, half the leaves had fell. I have noticed and I've heard is that years ago when they planted these trees, a lot of them left the roots in sacks and never spread them out. And I can see roots on the top of the ground going around the tree.
Oh, yeah.
And I would say about a foot, foot and a half up from the ground, all the bark is just falling off.
Yeah.
It's dead, right?
I think so. I think that tree has lived its life. It's those roots that you see that are circling are called girdling roots, stem girdling roots. And there's a lot of research that's been done by Gary Johnson and his team in urban forestry over at the U. So that's a good thing to read about. But essentially, those roots encircle the other roots and kill the tree. And they cut into the vascular system that's just below the bark layer of the tree and kind of choke it. And so when you plant a tree, and if you ever see circling roots, you would trim those off before you plant the tree. And apparently this wasn't the case. And you're right. In some cases, trees were left in burlap and baskets. And while that's not necessarily the reason for girdling roots, sometimes the girdling roots will develop in a container if the plant is container grown. Sometimes they grow that way because the plant is planted too deeply. That's a practice that used to be done quite a while ago. And now we know better and plant a different way. We plant our trees much higher than they used to be. So it sounds to me like since you lost leaves in July, that would indicate a stress, really stressed out tree. And then that the bark is falling off and then you see the stem girdling roots. I'm saying that you should probably think about taking it down and putting in something else.
Okay. Good luck, Harvey. Thank you.
Yeah.
651-989-9226. If you want to call it in, text it in as 81807. We'll get back to the text in a moment. But Judy is calling from Bloomington. Judy, you're on CCO with Julie.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have a question about, I got a dwarf Meyer lemon tree.
Ooh,
and
yes.
It was doing fine. I had it in a three-season porch over the summer, and it was doing fine. And then I brought it in, and it was doing pretty good. And then all of a sudden, a couple weeks ago, it started dropping leaves.
Right.
And I'm not sure if I might have overwatered it or if it's from changing the location.
Yeah, it's the latter, probably. If you've been, you know, when you feel the soil, if you dig your fingers in there and it feels dry, then, you know, those trees can usually take a fair amount of water. And it's, you know, you don't want it sitting in water, but they can take quite a bit of water, and they do require quite a bit of water. But it's the latter. It's because you changed the location. That would cause a little bit of shock to the tree. They'll drop its leaves, but it should start putting out new leaves. Be sure that it's in the brightest window you have in your house, or you can also use a floor lamp and buy a grow light. You can buy them online and add some supplemental light to that.
Now, it does have, you know, it's got lemons about the size of, I'd say, a quarter.
Yep.
But do you think those are going to fall off too?
Some might fall off. They'll turn yellow, kind of yellow, not ripe yellow, but yellow and drop off. But not necessarily.
Okay.
But that's where it does. You need to really make sure that you're watering it well. And if you have the opportunity to water with like distilled water with some fertilizer in it, that would be great versus using tap water.
Okay, thank you so much.
Yeah,
all right, Judy, thank you for the call.
Yeah, citrus like a little acid in their water. So use a muracid fertilizer is great. That's a type of a granular dissolve in water kind of fertilizer that that we use for azaleas and blueberries, and it's also good at about half strength for citrus.
For any kind of a citrus tree?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they're all the same that way.
651-989-9226. Text is 81807. You want to grab that?
Yeah, this is a good question. Let's see. I'm going to try to find the beginning of it. I have a 30 to 35-foot blue spruce losing needles from trunk outward. U of M site says it could be a fungal or insect caused, and spraying in spring is recommended. treatment. How do I get accurate diagnosis? Is there hope for this tree? I have read that blue spruces are less popular in our area due to such problems. Good question. There are a number of diseases that spruce have, but one that we see commonly on Colorado spruce, which is the blue spruce that we all love in our landscapes, is a fungal disease. And it is something that can be sprayed for. I would recommend having an arborist or a tree care, certified tree care company coming out there to take a look at it in the spring to see if you can do any kind of treatment. There is a treatment for it. But it's expensive, and some people choose not to do that. But that's the way to get an accurate diagnosis, is have a certified arborist come out and take a look at it. And there is hope. Sometimes it can take a long time for this fungal disease, Rhizosphaera. I never can pronounce it correctly. I apologize to my pathology buddies. but sometimes it's a needle disease. Sometimes what happens is that Colorado spruce are bred in Colorado. That's how they got their name. And it's very dry and arid in Colorado, and they do great out there. But here in Minnesota in the summer, we have a lot of humidity, and that humidity causes this fungal disease to spread and increase. And there's nothing you can spray for it, but we have a lot of blue spruce around our landscape. So there are other options for blue color trees. There's some white spruce that have a kind of a blue look. There's also the concolor fir or the white fir, which is one of my favorite trees. That's a great option too. So you have some other options if you like that blue color evergreen.
What kind of soil would you suggest for a white fir?
You can plant it in a well-drained soil. And they do quite well. They're used in a lot of urban landscapes and they plug right along.
Check that out.
Yeah, that's a beautiful, beautiful tree. Hot pink cones. Oh, really pretty.
81807 if you want to send Julie your text message, or call her, 651-989-9226. This time of year, Julie, a lot of folks heading out on vacation, but there's a question about that.
Is there a good method of watering plants going on vacation for several weeks? The important thing is to water all your plants before you go. And to keep your temperature in your house cool. In some cases, if you have you might want to drop your temperature to, say, 62 degrees, 65 at probably the highest. And that will actually help to keep the soil more moist. And if your plants are in a very bright, hot window, if you have a westerly window, or you have one area that it's very, very warm, then you might want to move them out of that space. So the trick is to keep them moist as long as you're gone. I like to have somebody check on my house.
I was going to say, if you have
Kathy
family or
comes
friends,
over,
yeah,
and she'll check my plants for me when we go out of town for a length of time. But that's really that's probably the best way to do it. Some people will say, "Oh, put an ice cube in a plant, like in orchids and things." That's okay, but that's going to melt in, overnight, and it's going to dry up pretty quick. That's not very much water. So that's not really a very good method of that. But really watering them well before you go. And then if you can have somebody check them, that's great. If someone's checking your house, and then moving them out of warm areas and keeping your temperature cool.
Very good. On that note, we have to take a quick break. We still invite your phone calls or text messages pertaining to lawn or garden, 651-989-9226. Or the text number is, again, 81807. We'll be back with Julie and your phone calls and text messages in just a moment. Fair skies, CCO temp right now is 12.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
And good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on 830 WCCO. Julie Weisenhorn from the University of Minnesota Extension with us. And as you can see, Julie, a lot of text messages here. Should we see how
gardening
many we can?
Is a 52-week-a-year hobby.
it really is. And maybe even more so this time of year when it's going to be below zero.
Yes.
We're thinking about spring
like
already.
I like to think about gardening.
Let's, what do you say we grab some texts and see how many we can feel?
That sounds good. Somebody's asking to expound on watering plants. Not everything gets watered. On Tuesdays, for example, you have to check the soil or how the leaves look. Thanks, Christy. So, Christy, you are correct. You do have to feel the soil, and that is the best way to tell that your plant needs water. Another way to tell or to justify it is to look at the plant, and you're right. The leaves, they might start to get wrinkly. They might start to droop. That can also be a sign of overwatering, too, though. So you have to make sure that you're feeling that soil. And again, taking the plant out of the pot to water it is really important. Taking it out of a second pot, not the actual pot the plant's in. And making sure there's drainage holes in the bottom of the pot so that that plant can drain well. I always recommend to people to set it in the sink and to make sure that you water it well. If you have a plant like a African violet, for example, those have kind of furry leaves, and watering those leaves can sometimes cause leaf spot. And so I like to take those plants and set them in a bowl of water and allow the plant to take up the water. Let it sit there for – you can let it sit there for most of the day even, and allow it to take up the water, then take it out of that water and set it in the sink, drain it well, and then put it back in its window. So you're right. And thank you, Christy, for asking for a little bit more information. It's one of the number one ways that we kill our houseplants is by overwatering them. Yeah.
Tex says, where can I take a sample of my lawn grass to get help identifying the type of grass?
Oh,
now, does the U of M do that?
You
do soil
samples.
Well,
we do soil samples, and we do have a plant disease clinic, but I wouldn't take it there to find that out. The best thing to do probably is you can take a picture of it. You can bring it to the Arboretum when Master Gardeners are there, which are on Saturdays and I think Sundays too. You can check the website. You can also bring it to a Master Gardener Extension office if there's a Master Gardener available there. And you can take photographs of it and send it in on Ask an Expert, which is on our Ask Extension page, which is on the garden webpage. So that's another way that you can do that. You can send up to 3 photographs, so you can take pictures of that. We can often tell from the blades, and close-ups are important. So if you do send photos, be sure you take close-ups as well as the picture, a broader picture, a wider picture of the plant, and then be sure they're super clear so that we can help you out with that.
Text number is 81807. Here's the text, Julie. What do you do with the Norfolk pine received for Christmas after the holidays?
You keep it as a beautiful houseplant. That is a nice houseplant.
Does it need a lot of care?
It actually likes a bright window, and it likes to be well-drained. In other words, you want it to be sure that it's in a pot where it's going to drain well. And then just keep it moist. It doesn't like to dry out too much. But just keep feeling that soil, and if it starts to get a little dry in the top inches, then give it a good watering, and be sure to keep it in a nice bright window.
Texter wants generally some advice on tips for caring for orchids.
Oh, yes, orchids. So we have a publication on our garden houseplant page, and it does talk about caring for particularly Phalaenopsis, which are the moth orchids. They're probably the most common orchids that people have. They're really forgiving. If you want to give an orchid for a gift at Christmas, that's a great one to give. And caring for orchids, again, draining well, putting them in a bright light. They like to, once they're done blooming and the stem has completely turned brown, then cut it off. And you have to appreciate orchids for the quality of their leaves as well as their roots, because they're going to look like that for a long time, until they start another spike, probably about 6 months or so down the road. So, they will, they prefer some cooler temperatures as well, difference of 7 to 10 degrees at night in order to set bud.
Let's see. Here's a text that says, I have about 6 acres of woods. It is starting to get infested with buckthorn.
Yeah.
How can I get rid of this invasive species?
Okay.
That's a tough one, isn't it?
On our extension site, we have a link to information about buckthorn. The DNR has a terrific page on buckthorn as well. And I would take a look at that. That's a long conversation. So I would, we could do a whole show on buckthorn and invasive species. But I would recommend that you read that information. It talks about how to take it out, how to identify it properly, and then how to prevent it from coming back.
I remember taking out a bunch in my backyard,
but it
seems like I could wait till winter and that's still green.
Buckthorn. And that's one of the ways that you identified is it's the last thing to turn brown. In fact, it doesn't turn brown. It just stays green through the winter.
Good morning, Texter says, is there a life expectancy for Christmas cactus minus dropping clumps of leaves?
Okay, dropping clumps of leaves may indicate that the plant is being overwatered. They are not plants, even though they have kind of a succulent look. Succulents do not necessarily want to be overwatered, so you might want to check that. You might want to do some pinching back if those branches have gotten extremely heavy and the plant is having trouble kind of keeping its sitting upright, and And you might want to do some pinching back. And I explained that a little earlier where you go to a joint in the leaves or the cladophylls and you go ahead and you pinch those off. And that will promote some new growth at that point.
All right. Let's see. We still have some time for this.
And there are life expectancies of plants.
Yes.
Plants. Now, Christmas cactus, people say, I've got one that's 100 years old. It was my great grandmother's. That is true. But plants do have life expectancy, so sometimes it's best if you don't want to struggle with it and it doesn't have a lot of sentimental meaning, sometimes it's good to start with a new fresh plant.
We have a couple of minutes to go, and that is it, Julie. Go ahead.
Oh, so this one is from Aubrey in Chaska. I have a feisty red squirrel and lots of gray squirrels that like to bury walnuts in my lawn. Is there a way to deter them besides with a pellet gun?
We don't recommend that.
Well, it's awfully tempting, I know. But a pellet might go through your neighbor's window, then you got a problem. But if you have a walnut tree nearby or if you have an oak tree with acorns, they're going to be there. And it's just difficult. There isn't a really good answer for that. Protecting plants, it's hard. Squirrels are tough. We have lots of conversations about that. About protecting bulbs and things like that with chicken wire. But it's difficult. And I don't have a good answer for you, Aubrey. Sorry.
We have 60 seconds to go, Julie, and that is it. I'm thinking about here it is, the holiday gift-giving season.
Yeah.
What are some ideas, a couple of them, for maybe some plants for
well,
the holidays?
We've got some great plants. And I just wrote a post on our Yard and Garden News blog, which is on our garden site. And it's about houseplants make great gifts. And I list a number of them there along with some links for information. I would say this, that if you buy somebody like an amaryllis bulb, which is one of my favorites, be sure to print off the extension publication with it, because it has great care after it blooms and how to take care of it through the summer and how to get it into bloom again. So look to that site for some good things and pop that in the package with your plant.
Merry Christmas to you
Merry
guys.
Merry Christmas, Denny.
And to Rosie, too.
Yeah.
All right. Have a safe trip.
Thanks.
All right. And we'll talk. Teresa will be here next week. All right. Good deal. Thanks very much, Julie.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.